We're beginning here on the top of Lamech Chet Amar Aleph. Amar Leah by the Rav Yosef. Hai Kuba de Ara that we spoke about yesterday, which was Abai's definition for Choknim. Maimi Varachini Lavei. What is the bracha that we make on it? Amar Leah, Misavar et Nehemahu. You think that that is pot, that is bread? Guvla Baalmo. It's just a mixture of flour and water, which has a din of Masek Deira. And therefore, Mevarachini Lavei, Borei Minei Mizanot. And therefore, the bracha is going to be Borei Minei Mizanot, like any of the Chameshet Minei Dagan that are a part of any dish. Marzutra, Kava Sudate Ilavei. He was Koveya Suda on this Kuba Da'ara, and therefore he was Berech Ilavei Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. He made a Broch of Hamotzi, Vishalosh Brochot, and Birkat HaMazon afterwards. And in addition to that, Amar Baravashi, Adam Yotzei Ben Yidei Chuvato BePesach. A person can use them for matzah on Pesach, my time, Lechem Oni, Greenen Bay. May not have a din of pot, but it has a din of Lechem Oni, and therefore you can be Yotzei with it for matzah on Pesach. In order to understand this better, we need to go back to the end of yesterday's daf, where we had a distinction that was drawn between Troknin and Shrita. Over there, the Gemara says that Troknin, you're Chayavin Bechala, according to most of the Girsot, and Shrita is Patur Minachala. Now, we have to understand why there's a difference between Troknin, which Abayi defines as Kuba Da'ara, and Shrita. And in doing that, we then can now understand what is happening in today's daf. Before we do that, we need to take one step back with regards to the dinim of challah. There's a mishnah in challah, Perek Aleph Mishnah Hey, which tells you that isa shetchilata sufganim, b'sofa sufganim p'tura min achila. If you have an item that its beginning is like, quote-unquote, a donut, and its end is like a donut, then it doesn't have a din in challah. On the other hand, if tchilat isa, in the beginning it's like a dough, the sofa sufkanim, but in the end it's baked like a sufkania, tchilata sufkanim, or it's made in the first place like a sufkania, but sofa isha, in the end it's baked like an isa, chayevet bechala. So that's the din that we get out of that mishnah, and that's exactly the issue that is being discussed over here with regards to the troknin and the trita. And that is that in order for something to be chayav in chala, it needs to qualify for one of two things to make it chayav. There is a pasuk that says, Reshit arisotechem chala tarimu truma. So that something that's an arisa is chayav in chala. The definition of isa is a kneading of a dough. And that's what it means here, that if it's chilat isa, if you began with an isa, then you're chayav in chala. The other pasuk says with regards to the din of chala, Vayav och lechem ilechem aretz tarimu truma lashem. So something that's defined as lechem also has a chiyuv of truma over here, which means chala. Lechem is defined by the baking of the item and not the cooking of the item. So if you qualify for either one of those two items, then you have a din of being chayav in challah. Either you're kneaded like a dough, or you're baked like the bread is baked. Either one of those two items will make you chayav in challah. So now, going back to the difference between troknin and trita, it's a machloket vishonim. The Rosh believes that the difference between them is that they both are very thin. That means that they do not qualify as an arisa, because of the fact that they are not kneaded like dough. The difference between them is what Rashi describes over here in the baking process, that for the troknin, it is put into a little depression in the bottom of the oven where it bakes. And it bakes there similar to the way that a piece of bread would bake when it's put into the oven, where in their day they used to plaster it to the sides of the walls. Over here it's in a contained area that's baked inside of the oven, and therefore it does have a shame of lechem, and that's what makes it chayav in challah. On the other hand, the trita is lacking in both of these items. It's just as thin as the troknin. The way it's baked, according to the way that Rashi explained before, is that it's just poured onto the bottom of the oven and it just spreads wherever it wants. So it becomes very thin, it's pancake-like and not bread-like, and therefore it doesn't qualify to be considered lechem as well. So therefore, according to the Rosh, the reason you're chayav in chala by choknin is because of the fact that it is baked and has a shame lechem in the end, even though it's not kneaded like dough. On the other hand, when it comes to trita, it is neither kneaded like dough, nor is it baked like bread, and therefore it's p'tura minai chala. That's the view of the Rosh. On the other hand, the Rashbo believes that the difference between them is not in the baking process, but rather in the kneading process. And that is for the Troknin, the kneading is a thicker type of kneading, and therefore it has a semblance of being like an Isa, whereas by the Trita, it's so thin that it has no semblance of being like a kneading of dough, And that's why it's Pturah Menachala. Neither of them are baked in a manner that gives them a shame lechem. The difference is whether it's qualified as an arisa or not. So now we come over here to our Gemara, and they're asking about the brocha on kubadara. What it seems to be is that the din of the brocha of a motzi is premised or dependent on whether the item is considered to be a pot. It's considered to be bread. Before, we saw that the shuknin qualifies to be chayav in chala. According to the Rosh, the reason that was is because it's baked in a manner that gives it a shame lechem. So the truth is that it has a shame lechem to it, but it still does not have a shame pot to it, and therefore the brocha that you're going to make on it is borei minei mizonot, because it's a guvla ba'alma. It's just a mixture of flour and water that, yes, in the baking process it gets a shame lechem that makes you chayav in chala, but that shame lechem is not enough to make you chayav to say hamotzi, elim ken your kovei asuda. If your kovei asuda on it, then that can transform the lechem into something of significance where you'd also make a motzi lechem in aretz. But standalone, the item doesn't have enough significance to it. It doesn't have a shame pot, and therefore there's no din of a motzi lechem in haaretz. But that would then imply that when it comes to the trita, that according to the Rosh, the trita does not have a shame arisa, and neither does it have a shame lechem. And therefore, the reason you make a bracha barei minei mizonot on it is because it's like bishul kedeira. It's like a mixture that has chamishit minei dagan that is cooked together, and that requires a bracha barei minei mizonot. But then, if you were koveya su'uda on it, it would make no difference because it doesn't ever have a shame lechem associated with it. And since it never has a shame lechem associated with it, the trita can never be elevated to the status of a motzi lechem in aretz. And that's exactly what the Beit Yosef says, and paskins that way in the Shulchan Aruch, that the same distinction we have with regards to the chiyuv chala between a troknin and a trita will have the same manifestation over here with regards to the brocha. Both of them up front will be barei minei mizonot, but in the back end, if you're koveya suda, when it comes to troknin, that will have a din of a motzi because it has a shame lechem on it that can be elevated. Whereas the trita, which does not have a shame lechem on it, can never be elevated to the status of a motzi lechem in aretz. Then, and according to the Rashba, who thinks that the difference between troknin and trita has to do with the thinness of the mixture, reason your chayav in chala or patur min achala has to do with whether it has a shemisa or doesn't have a shemisa. So the failure is in the shemisa aspect of it, where the troknin has a shemisa, but the trita does not have a shemisa to it, and that's why it's not considered to be chayav in chala. But for the Rashba, that the distinction is totally driven by the fact that one of them is a much thinner mixture than the other. They're both baked in the tanur, and there's no distinction there. Therefore, by the case of chala, where arisa, or the shame isa, is important in order to determine the chiyuv chala, then you would draw a distinction between troknin and trita. On the other hand, when it comes to over here, the Megonin explains, there's going to be no distinction in the bracha, because whatever gives it the ability to have a shame mizonot, and then if you eat and koveya sudan, it makes it into a motzi, that is driven by the lechem side of it, or the tanur side of it. And there, we see no distinction, according to the Rashba, between the troknin and the trita, and therefore, over here, as the Magen Avraham says in the name of the Torah, there'll be no difference between troknin and trita. You'd make a borei minei mizonot on it, and if you're koveya suda on it, it would have a din of a motzi, whether it was troknin or trita, because with the aspects of baking, there's nothing different between the baking of the troknin and the trita, according to the Rashba, and therefore the din will be the same with regards to koveya suda. And that same distinction would persist then with regards to matzah, which is according to the Rosh, then troknin would qualify it for matzah because it has a din of lechem, a shame lechem. It may not have a din of shame pot, but it has a din of shame lechem. And that's enough because that's what you need for matzah, which is lechem oni. On the other hand, the trita, which never qualifies as lechem, can't be lechem oni, and therefore can't be used for matzah. On the other hand, the Rashba, who believes that the difference in the troknin and the trita has to do with the arisa aspect of it, but as far as the lechem side of it, there's no distinction between them. If troknin can be given the status of lechemoni, then so too the trita can have that same status of lechemoni if you're koveya suda on it. And the distinction here made by the Rosh, the difference between troknin having a shem lechem, whereas trita not having a shem lechem, seems to be also the view of the Rambam. Because the Rambam says that the troknin, or the failure by the troknin, is that it's baked on the ground like the Arabs do, not inside of an oven, and therefore it fails to garner the status of pot. But it does still have a shem lechem on it, and therefore if you're koveya suda on it, that would elevate it to the status of a motzi, and therefore it's chayav in challah because it's considered to be lechem, and you can use it for matzah on Pesach because it has a din of lechem. On the other hand, the treta, which according to one of the opinions was baked out in the sun, that never even garners the status of lechem, and therefore it fails on both aspects, both the arisa and lechem aspect of it, and that's why it will always remain mizonot. It will not be chayav in challah, and you can't use it for matzah on Pesach. Amar Mar Baravashi, Hai Duvsha de Tamre, the honey that comes out of the tamarim, out of the dates, Mirchberachinen Lavei Shakoniye Bidvaro. The brach of that is the juice of a fruit, and the juice of a fruit gets a brach of a Shakoniye Bidvaro. It's true of the dates, would be true of any other fruits as well. My time up, Zeyab Almu, because it's considered to be like the sweat of the fruit. It's not the primary aspect of what the fruit is grown for. And that's what Rashi explains. And you can see a similar sentiment within Tosfot over here. V'chein mashkim mikol minei perot, bar mitirosh v'yitar. That's differentiated from the olives and the grapes, whereby the olives and grapes, the purpose for growing them, or the primary purpose for growing them, is for the juices that are extracted from them. And therefore, wine and olive oil have a different status than any other fruit juice. Now, that would imply that if you grew fruits solely for the purpose of juicing them, meaning that that was the main purpose of these fruits, then possibly the bracha should be bor pi'etz. That's something that needs to be discussed further within the modern day postgame with regards to brachot on juice, especially when the juices today have bits or pieces of the actual fruit in them. That should almost definitely elevate the bracha to borei pri ha'etz and not a sha'akol. Additionally, I would point out that in their time, there is no refrigeration, and that means that fruit juices really have no value. Fruit juice only becomes valuable when you have an ability to store it. Storing fruit juices requires refrigeration. On the other hand, things like oil and wine, they have a natural shelf life, either because of fermentation or because of their staying power, and therefore their liquids are important because you're able to maintain them or store the item in that fashion. If that's the case, it would open up the possibility by devash or silan, which does have staying power, that maybe that liquid should also have a din of bor pi'etz, and also, of course, would open up Pandora's box today with regards to fruit juices, where we do have the ability to refrigerate and store them, then maybe our perspective on fruit juices is very different than that which was found at the time of the Gemara. And brachot is one of the areas in halacha where what the common practice of the time is has influence over what bracha should be said on certain items, as we're going to see later today with regards to cooked vegetables. Come on, who is this Shita of Mar Baravashi following within the Tanaim? Tihai Tano. It's like the following Tana. The Tanaim, we have a Mishnah, Dvash Tamarim, V'yein Tapuchim, the honey that comes out of the dates, and the cider that comes out of the apples, V'chomet Sif Vaniyot, and the vinegar that is extracted from the late maturing grapes that will never fully mature, V'sh'ar Mei Peirot Shel Truma, or any other juices that come from an item that is Chayav in Truma, Rabbi Eliezer Michayev Keren V'chomesh. Rabbi Eliezer says that that has a status of food and hana'ah, a status of truma, and therefore if one misappropriates it, they're chayav to replace it and return it to the Kohen with Keren, the principal amount, V'chomesh, an additional chomesh on above that. Rabbi Yeshua Poter. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua says you're Poter, because just like we're saying above, the juices that are extracted from the items are considered to be Zeyab Alma. They're not considered to be like the item itself. That's why the bracha drops to shakol. And similarly, by truma, they don't have a classification of truma. And that's why you would be patur. What's interesting about this gemara is that the example that they use is the honey of a date. And in the Torah, when it wants to speak about the shivat aminim, when it was speaking about dates, it calls them devash, making it sound like that is the primary usage for the dates, and not just a zeya ba'alma. So Rav Hai Goen, in trying to reconcile this, says that when we're speaking here in the Gemara, we're speaking about the dates that were fermented or cooked in order to extract the honey or the silan from them. That's where we say that it's Zeyab Alma, and it's not considered to be Bari Priyates. On the other hand, the Pasuk is speaking about the juices that emanate or are exuded by the date itself without any external stimuli. That's called Dvash Tmarim, which does have a din like Bari Priyates, and the date itself would be defined by that. So now we're continuing the Gemara. Amalei hau mirabon in the Rova. Trima mahu. What is the din of this trima? Lo hava date de Rova. Mike Amalei. Rova, who is living in Bavel, is Aramaic speaking. He has no idea what this trima is, because it seems to be that it's a derivative of a Greek word. And therefore, he is uncertain as to what he's asking him. So therefore, it says he had no clue what he was asking him. Yotiv Ravina kamei de Rava. So Ravina was sitting in front of Rava. Amarlei starts to query of this Rabbanon who's asking this question of Rava. The Shumshamei ka'amart. When you're speaking about this trima, you're speaking about those that come from the sesame seeds, which you dice up in order to extract the oil from these sesame seeds. O de kurtamei ka'amart. Or you're speaking about that those that come from the karkom, the crocus, or saffron, but you would slice up thinly, as Rashi says here, and put wine in it, make it into a drink. Oh, the pertsani kamart. Are you speaking about those that come from the grapes, where you take out the pits of the grapes to make temed, which is when you pour water over the pits of the grapes, then it captures some of the grape juice there and then ferment. So which one of those are you speaking about? So the question is, these items, when you've done this, what is their status? Do they maintain the integrity of the original item, and therefore their bracha remains the same? Or they have changed sufficiently that their bracha now has changed to be shakol niyeh bidvaro. Adahachi b'achi, in the interim, aske Rava the date. Rava then caught wind of what he was asking because based on the queries of Ravina, he started to understand what the question or the nature of the question of this Rabbonon was. Amalei, chashilta? You're speaking about, this is the Aramaic term for this item, which Rashi explains over here, is something that is diced or cut up, but not completely blended or crushed, but really diced or sliced up into very, very thin slices. So you have fruits here. Question is, do they maintain their status of fruit, and therefore you would make a bari priates on them? Or are these items so far removed from their original structure or shape or form, and therefore they would have a bracha of shakol niyeh bidvaro? So he says, chashilt vaday kamart. You must be speaking about this chashilta, v'ad kartan milta. Now you reminded me of something, Hadama Ravasi, that I heard from Ravasi. Haitamrei shel truma. If you have dates of truma, motar lasut mehem trima. You're allowed to make trima out of them. That's the trima that's mentioned before. And now he remembers that the trima and the chashilta are the same thing. And he says, with regards to these dates that of truma, you can make trima out of them. You can dice them. You can cut them up into very thin slices or thin pieces. Basur lasut mehem shechar. On the other hand, you're not allowed to make them into beer, because then if it's totally crushed, or it's squeezed out or juiced out, that item has no semblance of the original item. And therefore, you can't do that with truma, because by doing that, you change the truma from a machal, from an ochel, to a mashke, to a juice, or to a liquid. And as we saw before, a liquid or a derivative of the fruit that is liquid is not like the fruit itself, and you're not allowed to change truma from its original status. And so changing it from a date into shechar, into beer, is problematic, but changing it from a date into truma is not considered problematic, which is indicative of the fact that that must not be a change in its status. And if it's not a change in its status because it's okay to do it and remains truma, that means that it also, the brocha that you would make on it is borei priyaitz. And therefore here, the hilchata tamrei vavdinu trima, if you have tamarim and then you dice them up into these thin slices, mevachin alavayu borei priyaitz. Then you do make a brocha borei priyaitz, maitaima, bilmiltayu kaima kimi ikara. Because they still are in their original state, like they began with, and since there's no change in their state, they still have a din of a borei priyaitz. And this halacha might have implications for things like applesauce, whereby if it is not pureed completely and there's still pieces or chunks of the fruit that are in there, then the bracha might be bori preyetz rather than shahakol that would be made if it was mirusak de gamre, as Rashi says over here, because it no longer has any semblance of the original fruit. Shtita, as Rashi explains over here, which is flour made from roasted kernels of grain that were roasted before they fully dried out. And then in the Gemara and Shabbat, Rashi also mentions it's mixed in with water, oil, and salt. So this shtita, we have a machlok, Rav Amar, shakol niyeh bidvaro is the brach on it. Shmuel Amar, borei mine mizanot. Am Rav Chista velo pilgei, Rav Chista says, they're not arguing. Haba va, depends on how thick it is. If it's very thick, ha baraka, or if it's very thin. Ava, when it's thick, la achila avdila. It's made to be eaten, and since it's made to be eaten, you make borei mine mizanot on it, because the ikar there is the flour, and that's what gives it the thickness. Rako, if it's made thin, then it's lirifua. Lirifua ka avdila, It's made for medicinal purposes and not necessarily to get hana from it, and therefore you only make a shakol niyeh bidvaro on it. That is the view of many of the Rishonim, like the Rashbo, the Ritva, and the Meiri. On the other hand, the Balei Tosafot over here and the Rabbeinu Yonah both say that the issue is not that it is made lerefuah, but that when it's rakah, when it's much thinner, then it's made to be a drink. And when it's a drink, then there's no din of mechameshet minei dagan. If it has things from the five grains in it, it does not automatically become mizonot when it is a shtiyah. And the reason behind the Balei Tosafot shita comes from what we saw back on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph with regards to the anigron, that over there the Gemara says that on anigron you make a bori preitz, even though you are drinking it for refuah. So you see that refuah in of itself is not a reason to drop the brocha down to shakol, because over there the brocha remains bori preitz. So now over here what they're suggesting is that the reason it doesn't have a din of borei minei mizonot, and rather shehakol, is as the Balei Tosafot say in Divrei Hamatzil Haidusha de Tamrei, when it comes to drinks like shechar, beer, and other items that contain of the chameshim minei gan, lo mevarchim ala borei minei mizonot, ela shehakol. Lo havi behu mamash, the sorim are not discernible, or they don't have mamashut in there, it's only in there for the flavor. In addition, it has an additional elevation where it could be elevated to be pot. So when changing it from its original form into this form is not an upgrade yet. It's actually a downgrade before you upgrade it again to pot. Therefore, it turns to shakol. When it comes to shtia, you always say shakol, even if there are chamesh minei dagan in there, because in the later Tosafot, in B'divrei Matkel Baha'i, he says, it's not made to give satisfaction and to be for a suda, ki im lishtot. And therefore, kol dovar sheyesh bo mechamesh deminim, bein asud lisod, anything that has the five grains in it, but it's not made to be for a meal of satisfaction, satiation, kim lishtob, rather to drink, kagon shechar koyotzebo, like beer and other things, mevarech shakol, okay, I gav no posok bahag, and the bahag paskins that way. And those Rishonim that argue on the Balei Tosafot would say that their raya from anigron is not correct, because by anigron, even healthy people drink it. Therefore, when somebody drinks it for refuah, the bracha remains bori preitz. On the other hand, over here by shtito, the only people who drink it are people who are using it for refuah. If that's the case, then the bracha is shehakol, because it's only for refuah. It's not something that people drink unless they are using it for medicinal reasons. So here you have a fundamental machloket as to what the p'tur is over here. The Rishonim, like the Rashba, the Ritva, the Meiri, believe that the p'tur here is Rifuah. And then the Balei Tosafot think that the p'tur is the Shtiyah. So there are a number of nafgamino that come from this, including the fact that if you have, for instance, a drink that includes Mechashemesha Minei Dagan, that's used for Rifuah, but is also utilized by healthy people to drink. According to the Balei Tosafot, since it's a drink, and the chamesha minei dagan are inside of it, it doesn't have a din of boreimi minei mizonot, and the din would be shehakol. On the other hand, for those like the Rashbo, the Ritva, and the Meiri, because it's done for refuah, it has a din of shehakol. But on the other hand, if healthy people also drink it, then it elevates its status, and then it has an impact by which you'd make the proper bruch on it. And the proper bruch, according to them, is when you have a chamesha minei dagan, it'd be boreimi minei mizonot in that situation. In addition, if you have items that are solid items, that are used for refuah, that have chamesha minei dagan in them, that would also be a nafkamina over here. According to the Balei Tosafot, you'd make whatever the proper brocha is on the item, because it's not a drink, even though it's for refuah. According to the Rashba, the Ritva, the Meiri, since it's for refuah, and assuming that it's not eaten by briyim in general, then the bracha also would be shakol over here, because it's done for refuah, and not for the purposes of hana'ah. And so those would be nafkamina between them. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, like the Tosafot and the Beinu Yonah, and the Mishnah Berurah seems to favor that opinion. The Ramah, it's not clear exactly what he's saying. It might be that he's arguing that if it is for refuah, that's insufficient a reason to make it shehakol. Although the Magen Avraham argues that the Ramah is saying something else. But nevertheless, in the end, we do follow the sheet of the Tosfot, and that's why we make a bracha of shehakol on things like beer. So now the Gemara continues and says, Meitiv Rav Yosef, v'shavin. We bring a braita from the Gemara in Shabbat with regards to using medicine on Shabbat. There is a gzera tachanat chachamim not to use items or take medicine on Shabbat except in certain circumstances. And over here, braita has an argument between Tanaim as to whether you're allowed to knead or mix the shtita ava on Shabbat when you do it ayidei shinui. And the braita then continues and says shavim, even though they argue with regards to shtita Ava, bochashim et eshtot, when it is the shtita araka, everybody agrees that you can take a spoon and do a kilachar yad by a shinoi and mix it b'Shabbat. And you're also allowed to, b'chein shotim zeitum ha-mitzri. And you'll have to drink Egyptian beer on Shabbat. Bitzal kadatcho, if you think the refuah kamikavein, that his intention is for refuah b'Shabbat mishari. Why would it be mutar, be okay to prepare this shtita raka and then drink it on Shabbat if its sole purpose is for medicinal reasons? Because on Shabbat, you can drink or eat things that are for achila or shtia, but if something's primary purpose or only purpose is for refuah, then we wouldn't allow you to do it on Shabbat. And then why is Rav then saying shahakol if you're allowed to do it on Shabbat? Samalei Abaye, Abaye says, Ba'at lo tizbiro? You don't hold like Rav about this? Vatanan. We have a Mishnah that says, Kol ochlim ochel adam lirfuah b'Shabbat. Person can eat any food that has medicinal side effects to it on Shabbat. B'chol mashkim shoten. He's allowed to drink all sorts of drinks that bring refuah. Elamal yit techal meimar. So how could it be that the Mishnah says you're allowed to take quote-unquote medicine on Shabbat? So that is the gavra le'achila kamev kavein. Because the person's intent is to eat it, to drink it. And since it has a side effect of providing medicinal cure as well, that's fine on Shabbat. Hachanami, so too in our case, by the shtitot araka, you're allowed to make it on Shabbat because the person who's making it is intending for achila, not l'shem refuah. And if they happen to take it then, and it has the side effect of refuah, that's great. But if you do take it for refuah, Rav says the bracha is going to be shakol. Lishna achrina, there's another version of this. Doesn't seem to be there's necessarily a nafkamina between lishanot, just a difference in the formulation. Elamayit chalameymar, what would you say in this situation to reconcile between that mishnah that tells us that you're allowed to have refuah on Shabbat if you have achila shtia, and with regards to the blila raka and Rav, that gavra l'achila kamakavein refuah memela ka'avyo. The person's eating it, and it happens to be that the refuah comes as a side benefit. Hachanami, so to in our case of the shtita raka, that person's intending to eat it, and it happens to be that the refuah comes as a side effect of the eating or drinking. Rav says, then v'tzricha de Rav and Shmuel. Now that we've come to this conclusion, why do we need Rav and Shmuel all to tell us that you do require a brocha? Dimi hai, had we just had the braita from a second Shabbat, I would have thought the only time that it works, meaning that you're allowed to do it on Shabbat, and you would make a brocha of shehakol on it, is when it's shalachila kamakavein, when he intends to eat it, refuah memela kavyo, and the refuah comes as a side benefit of it, there you should make a brocha of it. Avahocha, over here where kevin lechatchila the refuah kamakavein, over here where he intends to do it for refuah from the outset, therefore maybe shalol levarech ilavei klal, then maybe you shouldn't have to make a brocha on it at all. Kamash malan, at least Rav, Rashi's gear says Rav and Shmuel over here, but at least with regards to Rav's position that he says shakol, also here, came into itle hana'amine ba'ibruche. Since he gets hana'ah from it, he makes the bake a broch on it. The same conclusion that the Gemara came to on the top of Lamed Vav, Amid Aleph. And the Tzlach over here points out, then why do we need that if we already learned that from back on Lamed Vav, Amid Aleph? And he first of all says that the memra back on Lamed Vav, Amid Aleph was Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel. And over here, Rav is the one that's saying it about Rifuah. So that's number one reason why you would repeat it over here, because it's Rav. And now Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel. That's what Rav adds over here. Shmuel adds the fact that even though over here Rav says it's shakol when it's a coming out of the refuah, implying that if you did it for achila, maybe you would make a borei minei mizonot. Long comes Shmuel to say you only by ishtita ava do you make a borei minei mizonot. You would not do that by ishtita raka, even if you had intent for achila and for refuah. And so that's what they both teach you in terms of the chiddush over here that you make a shakol on the shtita raka. First of all, even if it's for achila, you would still make a shahakol. Number two is, if it's solely for refuah, you'd make a shahakol, even though you would have thought maybe not to make it at all. And that's differentiated from the negron, where people also have it for refuah and achila together. And over there, you make a borei pri ha'etz, according to everyone. From here, it sounds like the pashtut of Gemara is that this only works if the person is intending to eat it. But if the person didn't make it with the intention to eat it, then it actually would not be permissible on Shabbat. So therefore, according to the way that Rashi explains it, which is the Pashtut of Gemara, the Mishnah in Shabbat teaches you that if it's both for Achila and Refuah, you make a Brocha of Shakol and it's Mutar on Shabbat. Rav's Chiddush is not only in a case where it's for Achila, but even when it's solely for Refuah, which would be okay outside of Shabbat, you'd still make a bracha of shakol niyeh bidvaro. Though the Ritva and the Rashba both over here suggest that even if he intends for refuah, it's still permissible on Shabbat. And the Rabbeinu Yonah seems to say the similar thing, as well as that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. And the reason that the heter is here is not because the person has to intend for achila, it just has to be that there is a possibility that other people will use it for achila, and therefore there's no gzeirat smamanim in this situation. Since there are other individuals that do use it or eat it or drink it, therefore when you do it, even if you intend for refuah, it's still permissible on Shabbat, because there is that possibility of making it or utilizing it just for a drink or for achila. And their view is that in the Gemara and Shabbat, the reason that you're allowed to do it on Shabbat is because even though your principal intent is to do it for refuah, nevertheless, since other people do it for achila, that's sufficient grounds to allow you to do it for refuah on Shabbat. Then you would have thought, or the Havamina would have been, that refuah, and that's your primary intent. Maybe you don't have to make a bracha, since the bracha on the item has nothing to do with what other people think, or that the fact that other people eat it, and it has to do with the intent of the person taking it, who is thinking for refuah, you would have thought maybe you shouldn't make any bracha at all. Along comes Rav to be mechadesh, that the fact that it is achila in other places, and you get hana from it, that's enough of a reason to make a shakol on it. Okay, now we go back to the Mishnah that says, Alapa tu omer amotzi lechem in aretz. Tanu banan, mahu omer. What is the nusach of the brocha? So, hamotzi lechem in aretz. Is that the nusach of brocha? Or, Reb Nechemi omer, motzi lechem in aretz, without the hay in front of it. Amarova b'motzi kulei alma lo plige. If you use motzi, which is the suggestion of Reb Nechemi, everybody agrees, da'afik mashma. It means past tense, something which was done already. And that makes sense here, because you took the lechem out of the aretz, this is something that happened in the past, and you're giving a brocha for that which transpired in the past, that's facilitating your ability to eat this item now. And we know that because dichtiv kel motziam mimitzrayim. In the brachot of Bil'am, it says that God motziam mimitzrayim, took them out of Mitzrayim. It's clearly speaking about the past there, and therefore motzi is a verb that describes the past. Kiplige, the machlok between the Tanakama and the Chachamim is behamotzi. Rabbanan savre hamotzi da'afik mashma. That hamotzi means similar to motzi, Chachamim believe hamotzi has the same meaning, which is that it has a past tense to it. Dichtiv, because we find in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, hamotzi lechamai mitzura chalamish. Moshe Rabbeinu says that God took water out of the stone for you all these years. And that's a reference to their traveling through the Midbar, their travails in the Midbar, and it's all in the past tense. Rabbi Chemia Savar, hamotzi de mepik mashma. That hamotzi means, according to Rashi, it says, in the future tense. And whereas the lashon of the Gemara here, and the example we're going to bring, makes it sound like it's going to be in the present tense. Shenemar, hamotzi etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim. It's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's telling him, before Hashem takes Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, that I am the God, hamotzi etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim, that I'm going to take you out from under the bondage or the subjugation of Mitzrayim. And it's clear there that that's going to happen in the future. So that makes something that is a future tense, or something that's about to happen in the present tense. Rabbanon, hahu dechachi kamaruhu. Rabbanon say, no, you misunderstood what the pasuk is saying there. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Bnei Israel. When I do take you out in the future, then I will do this thing, so that you will know that I'm the one who took you out of Mitzrayim. Because if you will know then that I am Hashem the God that took you out from Tachat Sivlot Mitzrayim. That really is a future perfect, which means that in the future, I will have taken you out from Mitzrayim, and you will know that because of the following. So the Chachamim say, even there where it's used in the future, it's in the future looking at something that's already transpired when you're standing in the future. And so they disagree with Reb Nechemia's position. On the other hand, Rabbi Nechemia disagrees with the Rabbanan and says, Hamotzi lecha mayim mitzura lechalamish, is not only in the past tense, it's also in the present tense and the future. God didn't stop providing them water when Moshe is speaking then. He provided it before, he's going to continue to provide, and he provides it in the future as well. So it's something that's still in effect, and that's how Rabbi Nechemia will explain the rayo of the Chachamim. It seems to be that everybody agrees that the formulation of the bracha should be in the past tense. The question is, which verb gets you that? Is it motzi? That's the only thing that Rabbi Nechemia says gets you that. Chachamim say, whether it's motzi or ha-motzi, both of them are successful at getting you a past tense, and that's what we're trying to create over here. So then, Mishtabchin Lei Rabbanan the Rabbi Zeira, Rabbanan were giving high praise to Rabbi Zeira about et Bar Rav Zvid, the son of Rav Zvid, Achud the Rabbi Shimon Bar Rav Zvid, the brother of Rabbi Shimon Bar Zvid, Adam Gadol, he's a big gun, Ubaki Bebrachoto, and he's an expert in the area of Brachot. When he shows up, when you bump into him, why don't you bring him over to me, and we'll see what type of big guy he is. Zimna chada ikla legabe. One time, this Bar Rav Zvid, the brother of Rav Shimon Bar Zvid, showed up by the Rabbonon, and they brought him over to Rabbi Zeira. Afigule rifto. So Rabbi Zeira took out a loaf of bread for him to make a bracha. Patach v'amar, motzi lechem in aretz. He said the bracha like Rabbi Nechemiah. Amar zehu shomrim alav d'adam gadolu, baki b'brachotu. This is the guy that you say is a big gun, and he's an expert in the area of brachot. Bishlomayim amar hamotzi. Had he said hamotzi, then I would have thought something special of him, because ashminan taima, vashminan dehilchatoki rabbonon. Then first of all, he would have been explaining the pasuk to me. What is the meaning of the pasuk of hamotzi etchem mitachat sivlot mitzrayim? Because then he would have explained it not as a future tense, but as something that in the future will have happened already. And number two is he'll tell me that the halacha is like the rabbonon. Odomar motzi, when he uses the word motzi, ma'ka mashmalan. He doesn't teach me anything. Everybody agrees that motzi works. And Gemara answers, v'yudava da fukei nafshe miplukta. He said motzi because that way he is the divrei hakol. Even Rabbi Nechemiah agrees that motzi works, and the chachamim agree to that too. So why not use motzi that covers all the bases rather than hamotzi, which is only the purview of the rabbonon, but Rabbi Nechemiah disagrees. So he wanted to get himself out of sticking his head in between a machloket tanaim. Behilchata, and the halacha is a motzi lechem min aretz. The kamelaki rabbonon. The halacha is that we make the bracha a motzi lechem min aretz, because we pass like the rabbonon, because they are the rabbim. The amri apik mashma, because they say hamotzi also means in the past tense. Tosafot asks the obvious question, why not do what Bar Rav Zvid did over here, and take ourselves out of a machloket and use the word motzi? Because motzi is clearly past tense, and everybody agrees to that, so why not use that and not have any machloket? So Tosafot brings from the Yerushalmi that there is an advantage to using hamotzi, and that is because the bracha would otherwise have two mems back to back. And that is because it says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Olam ends with a mem, and then motzi lechem in aretz. And as we know from Kriyat Shema, when you have at the end of the word and then the next word beginning with the same letter, sometimes people contract the words together and make them into a single word, haolam motzi, instead of saying haolam motzi. So when you have ha motzi, you don't have that problem anymore, because now you have a new letter or new sound interceding between them, and therefore you get a better articulation of the bracha when you say ha motzi versus saying motzi. And that is the offsetting factor. But then the Baal Tosfot would say, if that's what you're worried about, why don't you continue on in the bracha? It says, ha motzi lechem min haaretz. You have lechem min. So you have the two mems adjacent to each other again. Why don't you change the bracha over there and not have it be lechem min haaretz and change it to some other language that wouldn't have that problem? That's what it says over there. We don't change it because that's quoting from the pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Dalet, which says, "Matzmiach chatzir lebneima ve'esev levadat adam lotzi lechem min haaretz." So since we're directly quoting the pasuk, therefore we want to keep the wording intact over there, even though it comes at the expense of having the two mems together. That's the view of the Baal Tosafot. Then if you look in the Machatzit HaShekel, he seems to indicate that the reason for using hamotzi is that hamotzi is not only means in the past, but also means in the present, and even possibly into the future. It's something that is continuous in nature. And therefore the Rabbonon believe that hamotzi is the more appropriate language to use, because not only does hamotzi mean the past, but hamotzi means the past, present, and maybe even into the future. And because it has the meaning of all of those items wrapped in it together, that's the truth. God has provided for us, is providing for us, and will provide for us. So motzi lechem min aretz is the correct formulation. If you just say motzi lechem, it makes it sound like it's only something that's relegated to the past, but not to the present and the future. And that's why he thinks that a motzi is a better lashon, differentiated from havdalah, whereby the Gemara is looking for havdalah to be in the past tense of borei, morei ha'esh. And he notes this from the Yerushalmi, whereby Beit Shammai says that the bracha on ha'esh should be bara morei ha'esh, because that's something that happened in the past by sheshit yimei breishit, and not something that is continuous in nature. The Gemara then says, well then according to Beit Shammai, why don't you say bara pri agofen? And they say that it's different, because dafka bayayin, which nitchadesh kol hashana, which is continuously being recreated and done over and over again, there it's appropriate to use a language of avar, hoveh, and atid. Whereas when it's speaking about the eish, which is not mitchadesh all the time, it happened once in history, over there it's proper or appropriate to use the past tense. And even we who say borei moro eish, The Gemara later on is going to tell us that the word borei also means avar sometimes, and since we want to use lishna dekra, we use borei, even though we might have favored saying bara, but that's the key differentiation between the bracha that we make by the esh and the bracha that we make by amotzi, where we do want it to have this continuum associated with it rather than something relegated to the past. There are now quotes from the Mishnah about Yerokot Omer Borei Pri Hadama, and that comes right after the part of the Mishnah that speaks Alapat Mivarei Chamotzi Lech Minaretz. And the Gemara brings, from that we can conclude, Tani Yerokot Dumya De Pat. The vegetables here are similar to the pot. Ma pat shenishtane ayideya ur, just like pot is changed and made into a new form through fire, Af Yerokot Nami shenishtanu ayideya ur. So too, vegetables that are changed by the fire, that's when their brocha will be borei pri ha'adama. And that's the chiddush over here. Just like pot, which is changed by fire, has a brocha of motzi lechem min haaretz, so too yerakot changed by fire, meaning that they were cooked, they were boiled vegetables, that's when they have a brocha borei pri ha'adama, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Now the truth is that the Balei Tosafot, later on we'll see, in Divrei Matru Mishkach La, say that it's not only true by vegetables, but it's also true by fruits as well. In addition, in the Tosafot right before that, in Midik Tani, Tosafot indicates that it's not an exact parallel, because by pot, the heating up or the baking of the pot elevates the status of the pot. It goes from something that it's of a lower standard to a higher standard. Over here by the Yerakot, that's not necessarily true. It's true that the cooking may not cause a detriment in the vegetables, but it doesn't mean that it necessarily causes a benefit or an improvement in the vegetables. And therefore, the Balei Tosafot slightly reformulate the idea here, saying, just like by pot, the fire does not degrade the brocha, so too over here, by the Yerakot, the fire does not degrade the brocha, even though it's not necessarily uplifting or upgrading the Yerakot over here. And just before we continue, for some background over here, is that it's pretty clear from the Gemara that they ate almost all of their vegetables cooked and not raw. They saw raw vegetables as an unusual way to eat the vegetable, and therefore almost in every instance it's going to be an upgrade to cook the vegetable, moving it from its raw state to its cooked state. Now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbanai Mishmei de Abaye. Rabbanai says in the name of Abaye, Zota Merit, the conclusion you would draw from our Mishnah and that parallel is, Shlakot Mivarchim Aleim Borei Pri Adama. These cooked vegetables will have a bracha Borei Adama. Dorash Rav Chista Mishum Rabbeinu. Rav Chista says over in the name of Rabbeinu, Manu, and who's Rabbeinu for Rav Chista? Rav. Shlakot Mivarchim Aleim Borei Pri Adama. Cooked vegetables you make a Borei Pri Adama. V'Rabbeinu Yordim Eretz Yisrael. And the great rabbis that come down from Eretz Yisrael, Umanu, and who's that? Ula Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan. That's Ula who brought Memrod from Yochanan Amar. Shlakot Mivarchim Aleim Shakol Nia Bidvaro. He says that Shlakot that are cooked, the bracha for them is Shakol Nia Bidvaro. And now Rav Chista says, Ani Omer. He brought one member from Rav, brought another member from Ula, who he calls Rabuteinu, either out of respect for Ula or because Rav Chista was a big anav, he called Ula Rabuteinu. But here you have opposing views. You have Rav saying that the bracha is Adama, and you have Ula, the neighbor of Yochanan, saying the bracha is Shahakol. Vani Omer, Rav Chista says, I say, Koshit Chilato Borei Pri Adama. If the vegetable in its raw state is Borei Pri Adama, Shlako, if you cook it, then Shakol Niyabidvaro, it changes to Shakol Niyabidvaro. V'choshet Chilato Shakol Niyabidvaro, and anything that starts out as a raw vegetable in the bracha is Shakol Niyabidvaro, Shlako, when you cook it, then the bracha turns to Borei Pri Adama. And the Gemara says, okay, let's understand what that means. Bishlama Koshchilato Shakol Niyabidvaro, every vegetable that begins as a Shakol, Shlako, and then you boil it, you cook it, Borei Pri Adama, Mishkachala, I can find that with a large range of vegetables, including kravla, kruv, cabbage, the silka, which is either beets or spinach, vikra, and gourds or pumpkin. So you can see here, even though today we eat cabbage raw, just like we eat it cooked, over there it seems to be that they only ate it cooked, they did not eat it raw, and therefore cabbage in its raw state was classified as a shahakol and not a borei pri hadama. Ela kol shetchilato borei pri hadama shilakol shakol niyavidvaro. Which vegetables start out in their raw state where it's borei pri hadama and where you cook it and it would turn to a shahakol? Hey chamishkachala, how can we have a case like that? And we have many cases like that where you could consider vegetables that people would prefer to eat in their raw state. And then when they're cooked, they might actually be worse off when then they are raw state. But in their day, again, it seems that everything was cooked and having a vegetable in its raw state was very unusual. And that's what they're asking here. How do you have a vegetable in its raw state, it's borei pri adama, and then you cook it and it turns in shakol? So I'm going to have a case like that, bitume vikarte, in cases of garlic and leeks. whereby when they are in their raw state, they're better and they have a din of Ori Pri Adama. When they're cooked, that's a degradation in the vegetable, and therefore their bracha becomes shakol. Tosafot on the spot says, Vim Tomar, very nearly Anaim. You see by our own eyes that Bishul Mashpicham, when you cook the garlic and you cook the leeks, that they actually improve. So Tosafot answers, V'yesh Lamar, Dainu Bishvil HaBasar VaMelach Shebetochan. That's because of the other items that are cooked with them. The garlic and the leeks are used to flavor items, and when they're cooked together with those items also leach flavor into them, and that's what gives them an improvement in their flavor. But inherently, if you were to cook the garlic alone, or you were to cook the leeks alone, that would not improve their taste, and therefore they would go from Bari Pri Adama down to a Shehakol. And he also notes that if you have an egos that is mtugan bidvash, is a bracha bori priyaitz and not to shakol by the dvash. And even though if you cook the egos separately, it would be to the detriment of the egos, to the nut. And that shouldn't be any different than tumi and karti, where when you cook them, it's to the detriment. And the upgrade only comes from an exogenous addition, like the basar by the tumi and karti. And over here, the honey. Nevertheless, Tosafot differentiates and says over here, the egos is the primary object. It's the ikar. And if you still make a bori priyaitz, whereas by the Tumi and the Karte, they're not the Ikar, and therefore they're not going to have a Bracha Borei Pri Adama, but rather Shakol. And then Tosafot makes a statement which is important, which is Venirin, Hadvarim. Anything where the object is just as good cooked as it is raw, V'chai kamo mevushal, and raw is just as good as cooked, you would make the same Bracha on wood cooked and raw. And he gives examples, Mine Kitniot, beans, V'chein Tapuchim, apples. And another example which he gives, which is very interesting, is yayin, wine. Yayin mevushal, according to the Bai Tosafot over here, is just as good or no differentiation from wine that is not mevushal. And therefore he says the bracha should remain bori priya gofen. This would have major implications in terms of yayin mevushal and whether bishul really changes it or takes away the problem of stam yayinam. This Tosafot would be very difficult for that. It might cause some problems because he says there's really no change between the two of them. Whereas things like kra, silka, Kruv, where they are better cooked than raw, then when they are raw, we make a shakol on them. When they are cooked, we make a borei pri hadama on them. And he says, Kach nirah l'Rabbeinu Yehuda, that this is the way that we should paskin, the way that the Gemara lays it out over here, which is that things that are improved from their raw state to their cooked state, there's a significant upgrade in them. In that situation, the raw state is shakol, the cooked state is borei pri hadama. Vice versa, something that's good while it's raw and degraded when it is cooked, they'll go from Bori Pri Adama to Shakol. Something that is basically equal raw and cooked, in that situation, then they will remain Bori Pri Adama in both of those instances. Now we have a different version of this whole structure of the Machloket that's brought not by Rav Chista as we saw before, but now by Rav Nachman, Dorish Rav Nachman, Mishum Rabbeinu. Rav Nachman says over in the name of Rabbeinu, Manu, for Rav Nachman, Rabbeinu is Shmuel. Because Rav Nachman's Rebbe was Shmuel, Rav Chista's Rebbe was Rav. So he was quoting Rav in that instance. Over here, Rav Nachman's calling Shmuel, Shlokot, Mervachim Aleim Borei Pri Adama. So he has a similar memra in the name of Shmuel that Rav Chista had in the name of Rav, which is that Shlokot have a din of Borei Pri Adama. V'chavareinu Hayordim Eretz Yisrael, and our compatriots, our peers that come from Eretz Yisrael, Umanu, and who's that reference to? Ula. As Rashi points out over here, Rav Nachman was a big gun, he was chashuv, and therefore he calls Ula Chavareinu and not Rabotenu, like Rav Chista did. So Mishmei, the Rabbi Yochanan, here he brings in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Shlokot Mevrachim Aleim Shakol Niyeh Bidvaro. Similar to the Mesorah that Rav Chista had, in the name of Rav, that you make Bori Pri Adama, and from Ula, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that you make a Shakol. But unlike Rav Chista, who said that he doesn't think they're arguing, but rather it depends on the circumstance, Rav Nachman says, Ani omer machloket shnuya. This is a real machlok between them. Titania, and it's based on this similar machloket tanaim. Yotzim birakik hasharui umivishal. If you have matzah, a cracker matzah that was soaked or cooked, you are allowed to use it for matzah on Pesach. Shiloni moach. As long as it did not dissolve or disintegrate, then you can use it for matzah and your yotzei matzah on Pesach. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi omer, yotzim birakik hasharui. You can use matzah that was soaked of a lobi mevushal. If it's cooked already, it's no good. Afal pi shlo nimoach. Even if it did not dissolve or disintegrate, the mere fact that it was mitbashel already ruins it for being used as matzah. So what you see over here is that according to Rabbi Meir, bishul does not degrade the original status of the item, whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, it does. And now he's suggesting that's the same machlok between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel says that when you cook the vegetables, they still are vegetables, and therefore you make a buri pri adama, just like Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, Ula, who brought from Rabbi Yochanan, that you make a shakol, he holds like Rabbi Yossi, who says that bishul takes away the integrity of the original item, and therefore you can't use it for matzah, and you would make a shakol niyeh bidvaro on it. The Gemara says, Elohi, that's not a good parallel. The kuli ama shlokot mevarchim aleihem bori pri adama. Because it could be that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi hold that you make a bori pri adama on shlokot. Va'ad gan lo gamai Rabbi Yossi otam ele mishum debinan tam matzah v'leka. Rabbi Yossi's opinion over there may not be because of the bishul being a problem inherently that it's no longer called matzah. The problem is that you're doing a mitzvah d'asei of chilat matzah. In order to qualify as a mitzvah d'asei of a chilat matzah, you need to taste matzah. You need to taste the matzah. The bishul takes away the taste of matzah, and that's a problem when you're trying to eat matzah in particular. It may not change the fact that it's called matzah, but it doesn't qualify for the mitzvah because it doesn't have tam matzah inside of it, and that's an inherent part of the mitzvah that say of achilat matzah, is that you actually taste the matzah. But over here, in our case, maybe in Rabbi Yossi would be modeh, that the vegetables remain vegetables, and you would still make a borei pri adama. Amar Rav Chir Baba, Amar Rav Yochanan. So now we have another member from Yochanan, shalakot mevarchim aleihem borei pri adama. So that's different than what we heard from Ula. And Rav Ben Yemin Bar Yefet, Amar Rav Yochanan, shalakot mevarchim aleihem shakon yeh bidvaro. So Rav Ben Yemin Bar Yefet's mesora is similar to that what we heard from Ula. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, kova Ula l'shibishtei ke Rabbi Ben Yemin Bar Yefet. Turns out that Ula had the wrong mesora from Yochanan because he heard it from Binyamin Bar Yefet. And Binyamin Bar Yefet had given the wrong mesora from Yochanan. Ula collected that mesora or heard that mesora and made it as if it was what Rabbi Yochanan said. And therefore, when Ula was quoting it, he's really quoting the incorrect mesora that Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet brought. And now we explain why we think that Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet is wrong. Because Taibar Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira was a little bit incredulous that the Beit Midrash would compare a mesora from Rabbi Yemin Bar Yefet to that from Rabbi Chir Bar Abba. They are of a different ilk completely. Rabbi Chir Bar Abba, Dayik V'Gomir Shmatatai, he's very careful, precise about that which he learns, me Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi, from Yochanan's Rabbi. Rabbi Yemin Bar Yefet, Lo Dayik. And Rabbi Yemin Bar Yefet wasn't so careful about what he learned from Yochanan, and he sometimes misquoted him. Oh, Rabbi Chir Bar Abba, Kol Tlatin Yomi Mahadur Talmudei Kameh, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. And Rabbi Chir Bar Abba reviewed all of his learning in front of Rabbi Yochanan every 30 days. Those of what says, not literally, but every 30 days of learning, he would review on the 31st day. And so he had a continuous review of what he heard from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yemin Bar Yefet, lo mehader. He doesn't do that type of chazara. Va'od, bar min dein u bar min dein. Even without those two things that we already mentioned, which makes Rabbi Chir Bar Abba a much more credible mavir of the mesora from Rabbi Yochanan, we have other problems, which is that we have stories about Rabbi Yochanan that seem to indicate similar to Rabbi Chir Bar Abba. Da'utu Musa deshalkilei sheva zimnin bikdeira. They had this lupine that they cooked 7 times in a pot, and they ate it for dessert, and they came to ask Rabbi Yochanan, what should we do? What bracha should we make on it? So that's good evidence of the fact that even when something is cooked, you still make a borei pri adama on it. Rabbi Yochanan ate a salted olive, he made a bracha beforehand, and afterwards. Now, as Rashi points out, and the Bali Post of Vote point out, Meliach Hareyu Karoteach, salted, or something that is in a pickling or brine, has the same din as cooked. And so therefore, the Zayit Meliach is the equivalent of a cooked olive. And on that, Rabbi Yochanan made a bracha in the beginning, and in the end, the Gemara says, Iyamart Bishlamash Lakot Bimiltayu Kaime, if you believe that cooked vegetables, or here, a cooked fruit, like an olive, stays in its original status, then b'tchila mevarech alea borei pre'etz, the first bracha would be borei pre'etz, and l'sof, afterwards you make alea bracha achat mein shalosh, you'd make an ala etz, v'ala pri ha'etz. On the other hand, i'amar shlakot, la'vimil tayo kaime, if you say that shlakot do not maintain their status, bishlamat tchila mevarech alav shakol ni'a bidvaro, then the first bracha would be shakol ni'a bidvaro, ela l'besof, my mevarech. What would you make afterwards? Now, the Gemara's assumption at this point is that borei nefashot can't be the bracha achrona that you make here, because borei nefashot, as we're going to see later on in the Gemara, might be relegated only to things like meat, milk, cheese, not items like vegetables and fruits. Or it could also be that the Gemara in some places terms borei nefashot as a bracha achrona, they call it velo klum, that you don't have to say anything as a bracha achrona, because it's not one of your standard brachot, it's a fill-in bracha, as we'll discuss when we get further on in the Gemara and brachot, as to what the nature of this borei nefashot is. So the Gemara says, then why was Rabbi Yochanan making bracha tchila v'sof if he thought it was shahakol? And then we don't even know what bracha achrona we'd make. When it says Dilma, maybe the bracha achrona that he's making is borei nefashot rabot v'chesronan al kol ma'aseh bara. Maybe that's the nusach bracha that he's making. So now that's not necessarily a proof because you see that he made a bracha rishona and achrona. It could be that he made shahakol and borei nefashot just like he made borei preitz and al eitz val preitz. So from that you can't prove anything. Now we saw before that in the Balei Tosfot they bring from Rabbeinu Yehuda that he thinks halacha is like the way that Rav Chista structured the Gemara before. On the other hand, he quotes from the Rif that he thinks that the Gemara here is like Rav Nachman and Rav Chir Ba'aba, because Rav Chir Ba'aba supports Rav Nachman's contention over here that there actually is a machloket. And therefore, the Rif disagrees with that view that we saw before in the Rabbeinu Yehuda, that it depends on whether the Bishul upgrades the vegetables or downgrades the vegetables as to whether it's Shakol or Brei Pri Adama. And the Rif says he thinks the halacha is like Rav Nachman over here, because Rav Nachman's explanation is supported by that of Rav Chir Ba'aba, because Rav Chir Ba'aba says that on Shlokot, Rabbi Yochanan says that you say Borei Pri Adama, and according to the Rif, he doesn't differentiate between whether it's an upgrade or a downgrade. No matter what, you make a borei pri adama. And that's supportive of Nachman's contention over here that there's actually a machloket over here between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. And that means that Rabbi Yochanan believes that no matter what, when there's cooking, then it is a borei pri adama, whether it's an upgrade or a downgrade, and that's the way that the Rif paskins. You could have seen their argument be just the opposite way around, which is that everybody agrees when it's a downgrade that it's a hakol. It's a question when it's an upgrade. There, Ula and Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet may believe that it still remains shakol because there's some sort of change in the vegetable from its original state, and therefore it's shakol. Whereas Rabbi Chir Ba'aba thinks that that's an upgrade, and therefore in that case where it's an upgrade, it changes to a berei pri adama. And then that will have ramifications as to whom the questions that were asked here about the tumus and the zayit meliach were on. According to the Rif, it's clearly only on Rav Binyamin Bar Yefet. Because according to the Rif, Rav Nachman and Rav Chir Ba'aba believe that no matter whether the Shlika is an upgrade or a downgrade, the Bracha is Borei Pri Hadama. And if that's the case, then they could fit into both of these stories of Rabbi Yochanan, where the lupine is an upgrade and he said Borei Pri Hadama, and the Zayit Meliach was a downgrade and supposedly he said Borei Pri Ha'et. Whereas according to the second way he explained it, the story by the Tumusim, where there's an upgrade because it's inedible when it's not cooked, and when it's cooked it's an elevation and an upgrade. Over there, Rabbi Chir Ba'aba and Rabbi Yochanan says you'd make a borei pri adama, and that's what we find. Another Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet says it doesn't matter, whenever it's cooked, it's a shahakol. Then over there, how do you explain the case of tumasim? And that's a problem for Binyamin Bar Yefet. On the other hand, in the case of the Zayit Meliach, Rashi says that the Zayit Meliach is a downgrade and is a detriment to the olive. And therefore, that question by the case of Zayit Meliach is not only a question on Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet, it's also the question on the other views in Rabbi Yochanan that say when you have a downgrade, you should still say Shehakol. On the other hand, the Rashba believes that by a Zayit Meliach, that's actually an upgrade in the olive. If that's the case, then this is the second question is of a similar nature to the first question. It's challenging Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet, but not the other opinions inside of Rabbi Yochanan. Again, the Gemara rejects the proof from Zayit Meliach, because over there it could have been bracha tchila v'sof, doesn't tell us what the bracha was. There it could have been shakol and berei nefashot, and there only tumasim reigns a problem for Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet. Okay, now the Gemara continues and says, Meitei Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, Yirakot she'adam yotzei behem yidei chuvato b'pesach, the vegetables that a person uses to be yotzei the mitzvah of Maror on Pesach, yotzei behem, you can use them, u'bekelach shalem, or their stalk, of alok vushim, they can't be pickled or put into a brine, velo shlukim, and they can't be cooked, velo mevushalim, and as Rashi points out over here, the difference between shaluk and mevushal is that shaluk is a heavier cooking, or it causes the vegetable to disintegrate more than just simply mevushal, so it's a heavy cooking. If you think that vegetables remain in their state when you cook them, and the bracha should be borei pri hadama, like we suggested in the name of Rabbi Chir Ba'aba, then shlukim amaylo. Why can't you shlukim for maror? So Gemara says, again, the same thing we said before with regards to Rabbi Yossi's position, shani otam, doin en tam maror, veleka. The mitzvah maror requires a tam maror, and that's absent when you have done the shlika. The shlika, it's still a yerek, it still has a din of borei pri adama, but it doesn't have tam maror to it. And since it doesn't have tam maror, you can't be yotze the mitzvah of maror with it. Okay, I'm going to stop here on the last line of Lamed Chet Amud Bet.